586, Section 3, Voting Rights. As you read, look for the White Primary, the Atlanta Riot of 1906, Disfranchisement of African Americans, Terms, Disfranchise, White Primary, Grandfather Clause. Segregation was not the only attempt to force African Americans into a second-class position in Southern society. Georgia's white politicians were determined to maintain political control. To do that, many began to urge the African American men not have a voice in the political process. That goal led to the successful effort to disfranchise, take the right to vote away from, African American men. In the 1880s and 1890s, many African American men could still vote and take part in politics, in spite of white efforts to keep them from doing so. The poll tax established by the 1877 Constitution kept many poor, blacks and whites, from voting. Threats and violence kept other African Americans away from the polls or convinced them to vote for the Democrats. But many did manage to pay their poll taxes and vote, sometimes bravely defying the KKK. A new effort at reform in the 1890s convinced white Democrats that they needed to erect new barriers to remove African Americans from politics altogether. White primaries. In 1900, another major step toward disfranchisement was the Democratic Party's rule that its primaries for statewide offices would be open to whites only. By giving African Americans no part in choosing the Democratic candidates, they would have very little influence in state politics. In spite of protest by African American leaders, the white primary remained. After the decision, only about 10% of potential black voters actually voted. However, the white primary did not cover the general election. In areas where blacks outnumbered whites, African Americans might be able to elect officials by voting for candidates from the Republican or another party. In 1899 and again in 1901, State Representative Thomas Hardwick had introduced a bill that would put a stop to all African American voting. The bill would have required voters to pass a literacy test. To make sure that illiterate poor whites were not eliminated, a provision called a grandfather clause was added to Hardwick's bill. The grandfather clause tied the ability to vote to whether one's father or grandfather was able to vote right after the Civil War. Since African Americans did not have voting grandfathers, then they were not able to vote. The Hardwick bill, however, was never approved. The Atlanta Riot of 1906 and the 1908 election. Over the next few years, events led more whites to call for a disfranchisement law. The media had contributed to an atmosphere of racial tension by writing sensational stories. Some of those stories were about alleged, supposed, attacks on white women by black men. In 1906, articles about such attacks, none of which were ever proved, led a white mob to gather in downtown Atlanta. Mayor James Woodward came out and pleaded with the crowd to go home. But the mob moved through downtown Atlanta, attacking African Americans and smashing African American businesses. Although the militia and police were called out, they could not bring calm. Only a heavy rain in the night slowed things down. While law enforcement officials tried to control events on Monday and Tuesday, white groups continued to attack black neighborhoods. African Americans had gotten weapons to defend themselves, and in some places were able to ward off attackers. A meeting of African Americans near Clark College, south of the downtown, resulted in a shootout with the militia and the arrest of many African Americans. Calm was not restored until Tuesday, when a group of white leaders met with black leaders. When all was over, many had died, although the exact numbers are not known. Most believe that two whites died and 25 or more African Americans. African American leader and Atlanta University professor W.E.B. Du Bois was not in Atlanta at the time of the riot. As he rushed home, he wrote a poem, The Litany of Atlanta, to capture the feeling. Red was the midnight. Clang, crack, and cry of death and fury filled the air. Some blacks left Atlanta after the riot, and many began to question whether whites would ever treat them fairly. News of the riot made the pages of newspapers all over the country. Atlanta's image as a modernizing and progressive city was destroyed. In such an atmosphere, many white politicians called for disfranchisement. One prominent leader was Tom Watson, who had changed his position on voting rights. He now believed that blacks had to be eliminated from voting altogether to ensure they could not decide the outcome of any election. In the 1907 governor's election, Watson supported Hoke Smith when Smith agreed to support disfranchisement of African Americans through the methods Hardwick had tried to pass earlier. You learned in Chapter 18 that Smith was a progressive who supported many reforms, including changes that would prevent corruption in elections. To get Watson's support, Smith supported disfranchisement. Smith claimed it would be a way to clean up political campaigns by eliminating attempts to buy the vote of African Americans or intimidate them into voting a certain way. It would also eliminate from politics the growing class of educated middle class and wealthy African Americans in Georgia's cities. Smith won the Democratic primary. Since the Democrat always won the general election in statewide contests, Smith became governor. The Disfranchisement Amendment. In 1908, Governor Hoke Smith supported a state constitutional amendment that called for a literacy test. It allowed a person to register to vote if he could correctly read in English language any paragraph of the Constitution of the United States or of this state and correctly write the same when read to them by any one of the registrars. The amendment had a provision that, if a person had a physical disability that made him unable to read, he could demonstrate an understanding of a clause read to him. It also allowed any man to register who had fought for the United States in a war or for the Confederacy in the Civil War or was a descendant of such a person. This was Georgia's grandfather clause because many of those registering were the grandsons of Confederate veterans. Georgia voters ratified this amendment on October 7, 1908, by a margin of 2-1. At that time, only one African American, W.H. Rogers of McIntosh County, remained in the state legislature. When his term ended, Georgia had no African Americans in the General Assembly until the 1960s. For Hoke Smith, the legacy of his accomplishments as a progressive was marred by his support of disfranchisement. Losing the right to vote meant that African Americans had almost no way to influence politics, laws, or government policy. White politicians could now do what they wanted without having to worry about the African American vote. The black community would not be heard when demanding better education, improvements to their neighborhoods, or fairer treatment. The lack of a voice in politics meant that the inequalities of the Jim Crow system became even greater in the decades to follow. Reviewing the section, 1. Define white primary, grandfather clause. 2. What led to the Atlanta race riot of 1906? 3. What voting requirement was designed to prevent African Americans from voting?